Merde. I'm going to run 10 biblical names by you. And I want, as I read these names, I want you to think and study real hard and see if you've ever heard them before and what the relationship is. These are the 10 names that I want you to see if you understand and if you know who they are. Shemua, Shaphath, Agor, Palti, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sether, Nabi, and Guel. Does anybody have any idea who these people are? Because I had no idea until I began to study this lesson. There's two other names that we need to add to this list, though, and I have an idea when I give you these two names, you're going to understand where I'm going with this. One of them is Joshua, and the other is Caleb. These names all come from the 13th chapter of Numbers. And these were the 12 spies that Moses sent out to spy on the land of Canaan. 10 of them you've never heard of, and 10 of them have gone into obscurity because they renounced their responsibility to God and to the people. They caused many, many deaths because of their actions, and because they did not carry out the plan of God, these people are not even known even today. But two of them, Caleb and Joshua, we've all heard of them. These people were right on the cusp of entering the promised land. They had been delivered out of slavery in Egypt. They had gone through the Red Sea. The waters dried up. They went across on dry ground. And then the waters covered the Egyptians. God fed them. He clothed them. He took care of them. He guided them. And now, some 2 years later, they're sitting right on the edge of the Jordan River, I suppose we could say. And they're ready to go into the promised land that God had promised them and take possession of the land and the kingdom, the country that God has promised them. God had already promised them victory. He had promised them victory from far off. He promised them a homeland. He promised them a country. And all the children of Israel had to do was just step across the river and go into the country. And God was giving them the entire thing. He's already promised He would take care of it and give it to them. One quote, for a person of faith, obstacles are temporary because God is real. But for the disbeliever, obstacles are permanent and insurmountable because God is not real enough. These 10 men, names that I read, were 10 men who God was not real enough. And we're going to talk about what they caused and the problems they caused for the children of Israel. As we discuss the lesson, they were calling Caleb and Joshua. Let's pray. The Bible records that there was a great drought in the entire world. The Bible records that one of the sons of Israel, a man by the name of Jacob, was sold into slavery and went into Egypt. And through the time and through the years, he became second only to Pharaoh himself. The Bible records that God let Jacob know what was going to come. And Jacob was able to put back grain in Egypt. So when the famine started, Egypt had grain, and Egypt was able to feed herself. But the rest of the world was in very terrible shape, including the land of Canaan, where Jacob's brothers and his daddy lived. And they had some serious, serious problems. So the Bible says that they eventually got to Egypt. And after quite a few things that had happened, finally all the family of Jacob came to Egypt, some 70 souls, and the Israelite nation began in the land of Israel. About 430 years later after that, the Israelites had become slaves to the Egyptians, and it was now time for God to deliver them. The commentators and those that make estimations on this estimated that the population of Israel had grown from 70 people to approximately 1.5 million to 2.5 million people in the land of Egypt. So if we take the 1.5 million range of people that the Israelites was in Egypt before God delivered them, there was 1.5 million. They estimate that after the 40 years that there was still 1.5 million Israelites that went into the land of Canaan. This means that in 40 years of wilderness wandering, that about 1.5 million people died. That's about 38,000 people per year. That's an average of just over 100 people per day. Did you ever stop and think about in the 40 years of wandering that they were leaving graveyards all over the wilderness because these people were dying at an average of about 100 per day? But that's how fast the Israelites had grown in this 430 years. In Numbers 13 and chapter 14, which is where our lesson about Caleb and Joshua come from, for 40 plus years, these Israelites had witnessed the numerous uncountable miracles that God had committed for them and helped them with. They freed them from slavery in Egypt in the first place. God fed them. He clothed them. Their shoes, their clothes was able to last. God took care of them and he took care of every need. And now God had promised them that he would give them a possession. He would give them a country, that he would adopt them. They would be his people and he would be their God. And all they would have to do was to go in and to overcome the country, and that he would help them because the land of Canaan would be given to the Israelites for their own nation. They were about to take possession of the promised land. They were right up after about 2 years of coming from Egypt. They were now right at the edge of the Jordan, right before the Canaan land started, and all they had to do was go across and begin to take these cities and to settle this area. And God said, I will give it to you as possession. God had promised them. He said, I'm going to give you land that you didn't develop. I'm going to give you cities that you did not build. And I'm going to give you crops that you did not plant. That was the promise God made to the Israelites. And now they were ready to take their inheritance. But before they sent him over, Moses called 12 men out of each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and he called them together. He did not take the worst of the group, but he took the best of the 12 tribes. These were people that were extremely courageous. These were people that were soldiers, probably. These were adventurers. These people were leaders. They were the most intelligent. They were the most successful. They were respected. They had a great amount of influence among the people. People trusted them, and God took the very best that he could find from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and he put them in a group, and he said, I want you to go into the land of Canaan, and I want you to spy and see what's going on. I want to know where the cities are. I want to know how they're defended. I want to know the walls. I want to know about the people. He said, I wanted as much information as I can get. He said, I want you to go into the land of Canaan. I want you to spy out, and then I want you to come back and report, and then I am ready to go in to the promised land. These spies went, and they were there for some 40 days. And then they came back, and they gave the reports. Every one of these spies, when they came back and reported about Canaan, they said that it was an extremely rich land, a land that flowed with milk and honey. They had a grape branch that they had cut off that was so heavy, loaded with grapes, that it took two men to carry it back. They said it is a wonderful land. It is prosperous. It is fertile. It grows. And it is a wonderful, beautiful place. But they said there is not a way in the world that we can take it. 10 spies, 10 members from the 10 tribes of Israel stood up, and together they said, there is no way we can take Canaan. It was a very fearful and it was a very negative report. One of them said in Numbers 13, 31 and 32, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. They are men of great stature. And actually, that is true, because there were giants in the land of Canaan. They were descendants of a man by the name of Anak. Probably Goliath was a descendant of the man Anak. And these people, there were giants in the land of Canaan. And they said, they're too big. They're too strong. They're too powerful. There are too many of them. There is not a way in the world that we can go in and conquer these people. And they caused problems in the camp because the people believed them. In Numbers 13 and 30, Caleb stood up. He and Joshua were the only two that said, we need to go take care of the business that the Lord has given us to do. Caleb stood up, and it said that Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And the congregation didn't believe him. They didn't accept the words of Caleb and of Joshua. They instead believed the negative reports of the other 10 men that said, there's no way we can take it. It would be a suicide attempt. And 10 of the believers read and believed and were caught up in what the Bible refers to as the evil report of the 10. And the congregation of Israel openly wept. They were so disappointed. They wept. They were sad. They were frightened. They murmured. They murmured against Moses. They murmured against Aaron. They murmured against God. Then they murmured against Caleb. And then they murmured against Joshua. And they began to say things such as, it would have been better for us to remain in Egypt and died than to come to this place, and now we're going to die anyway. They even went as far as to talk about choosing a new leader, someone from the Israelites that would be able to take the remnant of the Israelites and turn around 180 degrees and take them right back to Egypt so that they could resell themselves to the Egyptians as slaves, because it was better than what they were going to get. It's better to remain in Egypt or to die than what we're facing now. And God heard it. And God granted their wish. And he decided that they would spend 1 year wandering in the wilderness, 1 year for each day that these 10 negative spies and the 2 positive spies had spent in the land of Canaan. The 2 spies, Joshua, was from the tribe of Ephraim. Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. Now, if you want to look back a little bit, you'll realize that the tribe of Judah was also the tribe that Christ came from. So you've got some correlation there. Caleb and Joshua both said, let's go get them. Let's go right now. And the people of Israel got so upset with them and were so overtaken with them that they were even making plans to stone Joshua and to stone Caleb for their thoughts. And had not God intervened, they would have stoned these 2 mighty men of God. And God's plan changed. And because his plan changed, there was a great amount of debt that was brought upon the Israelites, and they brought it upon themselves. By instilling fear into these Israelites, by instilling fear into these people, the congregation became so discouraged by this bad report that it affected every one of the Israelites. These 10 spies looked only from what they could see, and they said, we're outnumbered. They're bigger than we are. They're stronger than we are. There is not a way in the world we can win. But Caleb and Joshua walked by the faith that they had in God and the promises that God had made. The 10 spies saw obstacles. Caleb and Joshua saw opportunities, the opportunity to have their own land as God had promised. The 10 spies saw foes. Caleb and Joshua saw the fruit, the harvest, and the bounty of this new land. While the 10 spies saw problems, Joshua and Caleb saw promises. Where the 10 spies, the negative spies, saw giants, Caleb and Joshua saw God. And while the 10 spies were unfaithful, Caleb and Joshua never lost. And their faith and their belief in God and in God's promise never wavered. A pessimist will see difficulties with every opportunity. But an optimist sees opportunity with every obstacle. Caleb and Joshua were not about to leave God out of the equation. The lesson that we're learning from Numbers, the lesson that was taught in this passage, tells us to never minimize the strength and the power and the promise of God. These chapters in Numbers warns us and warns them against the lack of belief in the power of God, and to not in general make these discouraging and disparaging statements about God and the leaders that God had chosen, or not in general, or even just a momentary thought. And certainly don't speak out loud rashly against the things that God wants them to do. For the Israelites, they doubted God's power to bring them into Canaan, and they lamented in the 14th chapter of Numbers, verse 2, would that we had just died in the land of Egypt. And God heard them. And God responded. God said, "As I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you." And the dead bodies of an entire generation of Israelites fell in the wilderness as a result of their disobedience. I went back and read Numbers 14 and 29 to get an exact wording on this. Verse 14, or chapter 14, Numbers 29 verse, it said that every Israelite that left Egypt that was over the age of 19 years died in the wilderness. Everyone 20 and over that walked out of Egypt on the way to the promised land, every one of them died in the 40 years of wilderness, except Caleb and Joshua. Their attitude could certainly be called an evil report, and it certainly could be called negative because they showed disbelief in God. But on the other hand, Caleb and Joshua were very optimistic. Their report was one of hope. It was one of belief. They saw possibilities of what God had told them to do. They didn't see the problems. They saw God instead of giants, and they saw victory instead of defeat. God said that Caleb, in chapter 14, verse 24, had a different spirit. And yes, his spirit was definitely different from the 10 spies because Joshua and Caleb had positive outlooks on what God has promised them. And the rest of them, the 10 unbelieving, had a negative attitude. Here's another point we need to understand here. The vast, vast minority, 2 against 10, had a positive outlook. The vast majority, 10 against 2, had a negative attitude. These 10 spies that were negative had some traits that was common between them, and obviously after they spoke, it was also common in the children of Israel. They had doubt. In 13 and 31, they said, "We are not able. We simply cannot go up against these people. They're too big. They're too strong. We can't do anything. They will crush us. They will defeat us. We don't have the resources. We don't have the men, the power, the ammunition. We don't have the weapons. There is not a way in the world that we can take this land." And they never even thought of the fact that God was leading them in their battle. They looked only at themselves and they said, "There is no way we can take this land. We have doubt that we can win." This led to self-depreciation. And in Numbers 13 and 33, the 10 spies says, "We are in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in the sight of the Canaanites." In other words, these big bad giants would step on them like a man would step on a grasshopper. They said, "There is absolutely no way we can go into Canaan and win. They're going to step on us and squash us like bugs." The fear and the self-depreciation, or the doubt and the self-depreciation, then led to fear. And Joshua even said that they were very much afraid of Canaanites. Fear naturally follows doubt, self-depreciation, and fear paralyzed these 10, and it also paralyzed the camp of Israel, and they refrained or refused to act on what God had told them to do it. And this resulted not only in an inaction, but it resulted in a critical spirit. Because when people become negative and people become inactive and they've got to justify their negativism, they turn to criticizing others who want to move forward and do what they've been told to do. So they moved forward against Caleb and Joshua, because while the 10 were saying, "No, we can't go," Caleb and Joshua were saying, "We can go." It says that the whole congregation was influenced by these terrible 10 to murmur and complain against God's leaders Moses and Aaron, and against Caleb and Joshua because of their stand, and this led to an open rebellion. A spirit of rebellion against God. "Let us make a captive, and we will return back to Egypt." Here they were after all these years in the wilderness, and they had, after seeing God protect them and guide them and guard them and feed them and all of the many things that he had done to bless them, the serpents and all of the many different things, and they said, "We would rather go back to Egypt and be slaves than to have God go before us and do the things that he has told us to do." They were a very ungrateful group of people. They were not thankful for anything that they had been given. They failed to appreciate all that God had done for them in the time since they had left Egypt. And they displayed their unbelief. And the negative traits can be summed up in one word: These people were unbelievers. They did not believe. The writer of Hebrews 3, 18 and 19 said that unbelief kept these children of Israel from entering into the land of Canaan. So on the one side, we've got the 10 that say it can't be done. They were negative. Let's just go back to Israel, become slaves again. And then you've got two men, Caleb and Joshua, that stood up on the other side and said, let's go. These two men were different. They had a different disposition. They had a different focus on life. And they had a different attitude toward God and the work and the promises that God has made. They were men of faith. They said in verse 13, or chapter 13, verse 30, we are able to overcome. We can beat these people. We can overcome these people. We can do what God has told us to do. They believed in themselves. They believed in their fellow Israelites. And most importantly, they believed in God, His power and His promise. And they were full of confidence. Concerning the Canaanites, Joshua said, these people, so referring to the Canaanites, these people are nothing but bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. He had every confidence in the world of the undertaking that if they would simply go into the land of Canaan as God commanded them to do, that God would go before them and they would be very victorious in their overcoming because they were doing the will of God. And there was no lack of courage on the point of Joshua. Joshua said in Numbers 14 and not, don't fear the Canaanites. Don't fear these people. He wasn't afraid of the giants. He wasn't afraid of the walled city. He wasn't afraid of the strengths of the people. He said, we have no reason to fear these people. And it's time for us to take action and do what the Lord has told us to do. It was Caleb that said, let us go up at once and possess the land that God has given us. And they were thankful for God. They understood that the land that God was giving them was a gift, that it was a blessing, and it was something they could delight in. They were God's chosen people, and God said, I'm going to give my chosen people a chosen land, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. And they truly appreciated the action and the blessings of God, and they said, let's go. Let's go now. Let's take off, and let's be obedient to God. Let's get in that country, and let's do what we've been told to do. According to a census that was taken, and this was recorded in Numbers 3, Bible scholars estimate in Numbers 3 that at this time in the Israelite history, in this place that they were, that there were 603,550 men of war, soldiers, ready to go and ready to fight. In the wilderness, some 603,548 of the 550 soldiers, men of war, they all died. Every one of them. 548 of them died, and two lived to go into the land of Canaan, Joshua and Caleb. The Bible tells us that some 40 years after this, when the Israelites were finally in this same spot all over again, that Caleb was able to walk across and to take his land and his possession and his inheritance. He was 85 years old, but he was still strong, he was still courageous, and he was still ready to go. Several thousand years later, Jesus, one of the descendants of Caleb, said, in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, only a few will enter and walk in the straight and narrow way leading to life, but there's going to be many that walk in the broad way leading to destruction. Two of these mighty fighting men made it. The teachings of Numbers 13 and 14 is written to admonish us to imitate the disposition of these two heroes, Caleb and Joshua, and not to imitate these shameful, foolish, non-courageous, doubtful spies such as the other 10. Don't be like the 10, but be like the heroes of God. This entire generation died in the wilderness for their lack of faith, but not Joshua and not Caleb. God said, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land, and his seed shall possess it. Numbers 14 and 24. 1.5 million, as a minimum figure, died in the 40 years of wandering. They started out from Egypt with 1.5 million, according to the experts, and 42 years later, when they went in, there was still 1.5 million of them that lived, and the rest of them were buried along the way. Ironically, 40 years after this rebellion that Numbers 13 and 14 tells us about, when the children of Israel were finally able to claim their inheritance, and this, as Paul Harvey would say, was the rest of the story, when they were finally at the age of 85, 40 years after this happened, Caleb asked for and received the land that belonged to Anak, who was the father that all of the giants descended of, probably even Goliath. He asked for these giants' land to be given to him as part of his inheritance and for his seed, and God granted it. And he was given the land of Anak and the giants.